Hello and welcome to the Growing Leaders Podcast. We're excited for a conversation today with JJ Hurley, CEO and founder of GDH Consulting. And we're just so grateful to dive into a conversation about hiring and retaining millennials. Tim, I'm going to pass it over to you as you formally introduce JJ, but we're just grateful to have this conversation today.
We sure are. Welcome, listeners. As Mary just said, we're going to be talking to JJ Hurley. As Mary mentioned, he is the founder and current CEO of an IT consulting company called GDH Consulting. He started or founded GDH when he was 26 and hit a bit of a ceiling and started, JJ, I'm going to let you speak to this, but you had a bit of an epiphany that maybe, just maybe, some of these young millennials aren't just lazy, entitled slackers, but maybe there's some potential you could tap into. So JJ, let me first say thank you for joining us today in this conversation.
Well, Tim, thank you for having me. And Mary, thank you also for having me. And excited to talk about how we've grown GDH using this generation and happy to talk about it.
Good, good. Well, let's start off, JJ, by the simple question. Talk about how you started your company. What was behind it and how did you start it?
Yeah, so like many of the millennials that we're talking about, right out of college, I got my first job, and it was in the IT staffing arena, and cut my teeth with an international company and had an opportunity to, at the age of 24, open up one of their offices in another market, and loved it and just was excited about doing it. And so did that for a couple of years. And then when I was 26 in 2001, my wife and I came home and said, honey, I think I want to start my own company. And so I came back to Oklahoma, where we call home, and started GDH Consulting.
Cool. That's neat. So talk about this shift you made, not completely away from hiring experienced veterans, but you had this breakthrough when you hit a ceiling of growth. And you started thinking maybe we need to hire these young whippersnappers. So you're a Gen Xer, is that correct? Am I estimating
that
your...
That is correct.
Okay. Yes. So talk about this shift and why did you start hiring millennials?
So when we started the company, we've been a growth company. We grew quickly, very early. Opened up multiple offices, and as a new company, didn't have much of a track record. I was going into these new markets and I was hiring experienced IT staffing professionals, which brought some wonderful things, but also brought some bad habits. And also we found that we did hit a ceiling because new growth and new opportunities and trying to get people to move to a new market, it wasn't working for us. And we hit the ceiling. And so myself and our senior leadership sat down and thought, all right, if we're going to continue to grow this company at the rate we want, we're going to have to, in some terms, build our own. And we're going to have to hire inexperienced people, train them up. And this is the generation that we found ourselves in and have focused all of our efforts exclusively, almost exclusively, on hiring this generation as we grow the company.
That's amazing. Yeah, I remember reading recently that now over half of American workers are millennials. It's just a very large generation of young professionals. And so, yeah, you're just tapping into the fact that, you know what, they're here and they're here to stay. We can't avoid them. We've got to begin to utilize them. So that's so cool. So here's the big $64,000 question, JJ. How has hiring millennials helped your company grow? Give me some specific examples of how you felt like, oh my gosh, this is far better than that 50-year-old maybe might have done this project or this task.
Right. Well, as I mentioned earlier, so we put together a boot camp for all of our new hires. We really grew our training facilities here within GDH. And as we brought these individuals in, they're hungry, they're ambitious, their eyes are wide open, and they're all ears listening to what we're trying to train them on. And it's allowed us to scale faster. It's allowed us to open up new markets. It's allowed us, we have this happen almost on a quarterly basis, where we'll take somebody from, let's say, our Dallas operations, and say, all right, we have a new opportunity in Atlanta, and they're going to move to Atlanta. Or we have people in our San Jose, California office and say, we've got a new opportunity in Chicago. And so we find that this generation is willing to raise their hand and say, all right, a new adventure. Let's go try this. And that's really allowed us to scale, which has allowed us to, of course, serve our customers and our clients in the markets that they're at, allowing us to grow and open up new offices. the thing that stands out to me most with this generation or this group of individuals we've been hiring over the last 3 or 4 years is actually they are seeing success faster than we saw on previous hires, which it may sound interesting that, you know, you have an experienced professional, whatever their age may be, that comes in an organization, inevitably you would think that they would ramp faster. But mm-hmm. we're seeing the complete opposite. We're seeing that these individuals are growing their career faster with us, allowing us all to be more successful.
That is so cool. I mean, that's just encouraging because that's hopeful for the future that, you know, somebody that's maybe 27 years old might be outpacing somebody that's 47 years old, which, again, like you said, is counterintuitive. The 47-year-old brings all these experiences. But JJ, I'm going to go back to something you said earlier. You mentioned sometimes the older people, while they bring many good attributes, they may bring bad habits. This young professional may have no habits. So at least you get to train and mold the clay while it's still soft. Is that kind of what you were saying?
It is. And it allows us, you know, I look at it to teach and to train these individuals
mm-hmm. yeah.
on what it means to be a professional.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing we've learned most over the last 3 or 4 years is it's a lot of teaching. It's yeah. a lot of holding hands. Yeah. It's a lot of, you know, pushing to success. But right, wrong, or different, we have the opportunity to train them and teach them what it means to be successful.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, I have a question that's kind of off the record, but I want to hear you just speak into it. I'm guessing, or maybe I'm assuming, that when these young professionals come in, they do sometimes move faster with all the ambition and hunger and speed with which they can move. Do you learn from them sometimes as the CEO? And if so, how do you learn from them?
Yes, we all do. I'll tell you that. Be it from a social media perspective, which of course stands out to all of us with this generation, be it to how to interact with their peers. You mentioned earlier, I'm in a different generation. I don't feel like I'm that old, but by golly, day in and day out, I hear a new word that I never thought of to use, but we do. And I think that's one of the keys. What we've been able to do, and it hasn't always been easy, is look ourselves in the mirror as senior leaders and say, okay, yeah, we have a way of doing things that has gotten GDH from 2001 to here.
Yeah.
And it'd be really easy to say, nope, we're going to put our head in the sand. And we're not going to listen to this generation. Yeah. We're not going to listen to a 24-year-old who walks into my office and says, I have an idea. But we've embraced it. And that has meant sometimes changing operational things that we do within our company. But it's amazing that when you do listen, they have good ideas. They mm-hmm. want to be heard.
Yeah.
They're invested in this company. And the more that we're able to listen to them and invest and implement some of their ideas, it's amazing the buy-in you get, which once again allows us to grow.
No doubt about it. I mean, that's true for every human being, but we have often said young people support what they help create. And all you're doing is letting them help create what happens at your company. That's so cool.
Exactly.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier they're hungry, they're ambitious, they often see success faster because they're able to move quickly, sometimes geographically move quickly, and they have fewer mortgage payments, fewer things to tie them down. That is so cool to me that you're able to capitalize on the very elements they bring to the table that others might say that makes you unstable. You want to comment on that a little bit more? You see what I'm saying? It's almost counterintuitive. Some of these things that others might see as a bad thing, you're saying, no, that's a good thing. That they're.
I would agree. I mean, I will tell you this. I have many conversations when we do discuss, hey, we need you to move to the Chicago office. Mm-hmm. Do we need to talk about relo and talk about breaking any leases? And I do get this more than I thought. No, I'm with my mom and dad. It's good. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And so that does allow for that, which is a unique conversation. But also think about this. It now allows us to get this individual out of their comfort zone.
Yeah, right.
And say, all right, so you're moving from mom and dad's basement mm-hmm. to Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to help you. We know where to put you. And it allows them to grow.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it is a wonderful thing. And it's something we want to capitalize on. And I will say this, though. We do we work really hard to hire people that when they do come on board, they know the expectation at GDH. We're very clear.
Yeah.
Is that we want you to grow your career, and yep. many times that's going to mean you're moving yep. geographies.
Yep.
So they know it coming in.
Yeah.
That may not be for every person in every generation, but we work really hard to build it so that they can expand their career. And they know that by raising their hand or being tapped on the shoulder to go to a new market, they're not only growing themselves professionally, but they're growing themselves personally
yeah.
because they're growing up as
yeah.
they try this. And we're there to help them. We're yep. there to hold their hand along the way.
You're describing a win-win situation. The company wins, but I'm hearing a tone in your voice that I actually like. This may sound patronizing, but in some ways you're paternal in that way. You're saying, I'm going to grow you as a young man or young woman as you do this mission we have as a company. You're going to mature emotionally. You're going to cut the apron strings, if need be, from mama's basement and really become the person you were designed to be. I love that.
Well, I would say that has been a real transformation for me as an owner and a CEO that I can look at from when I started at 26. And I tell this to our new hires. I was in your seat.
Yeah.
I was a generation that people were saying, oh, my goodness, there's no way yeah. they're going to succeed.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, right.
And I stepped into it. But as I built the company, it went from, you know, we have to close deals because I have to pay my mortgage.
Yeah.
I was married and
yeah.
have kiddos, to we're going to grow this thing because we're going to work with these great clients to transitioning to what you said earlier. I take great pride. We as a leadership team take great pride
yeah.
in we are molding these individuals.
Yeah.
We got a responsibility, but that's an
right.
amazing opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets fun.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So what organizational and team changes did you make to attract millennials to your company? Did you do anything?
Yeah, we did. We made drastic changes.
Huh.
And what I mean by that is not only, as we had discussed earlier, going from hiring tenured, experienced individuals, but also we ran an infrastructure that was pretty much kind of a free agent market. You're all producers.
Mm-hmm.
You work
mm-hmm.
together maybe in your Dallas office or your Atlanta office, but you're kind of on your own and you're successful. When we went to this model, changed it to much smaller, what we call account teams. And these are 2 to 3 person teams that we call doing life together.
Hmm.
And so we basically went from having hundreds of employees that are with the company to now you're focused on your account team. Now, granted, in an office, there might be 10 account teams, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they all do work as an office. But that was a big change we had. And what it's allowed us to do is this. We're able, as I said earlier, to give people career paths and promote them earlier. So when
yeah.
somebody comes on board with us as a new employee, our expectations are you're going to be leading one of these account teams within 12 to 24 months.
Yeah, yeah.
So not only you're not going to have a managerial title,
yeah.
but you're going to have the responsibility and the expectations that there are 2 new hires that are on your team. And your job is to lead them, hold them accountable, teach them the GDH culture and make them successful.
Mm, wow.
And then they step on. So that has been a real game changer for us and
yeah.
one that we've seen work very well.
The word empower comes to mind. I know that's such a 90s word, but you are empowering. You're giving power to a degree to these young professionals. And it sounds like they're eating it up by and large. That's so cool.
It's been so refreshing. I mean, anybody that's listening to this podcast that is a leader, is in management, would understand it's so refreshing when rather than you as the manager or leader or CEO have to come out and say, we need more from you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not hitting our expectations.
Yeah.
That can go on deaf ears over time.
Yeah, right.
It's so neat to see a 24-year-old who's never managed anybody in their life grab one of their account team individuals and go sit in the conference room and say, here's what I need from you.
Yeah.
It's not coming from their manager. It's not coming from senior leadership. Here's what we need to see. This is the GDH way. Here's why I want you to be successful. And,
yeah.
and there's such more buy-in in that community that they're building as they do life together.
Yeah. JJ, a lot of times when we talk to employers like yourself, we'll hear about the downside as well. And when I say that, I don't mean that in a cruel way. Just millennials bring lots of positives, which we've been talking about. They also bring some inexperience. And sometimes with that, there is hardship. For instance, some employers will say, boy, it's so hard to have a difficult conversation. So, you know, it's hard to give hard feedback because perhaps they've never received criticism well. Maybe they've never gotten criticized before. Mama always told them they were awesome and gave them a ribbon for putting the fork in the dishwasher. You know, so talk about some of the challenges you've experienced with employing millennials and what has worked to overcome some of those challenges.
Well, I would say the ones that stand out to me, and there are a lot, I'll be honest, honest with you. The ones that stand out to me would be a lack of patience. And I mean patience on a variety of levels. A patience on their career path.
Yeah, right.
A patience on winning at whatever they're doing within their company or for our company. Results. So they really lack that patience. Mm-hmm. They want it now. I mean, and we've all heard that said before, but it's true. They want it now, and they can't understand why it's not happening sooner. Now, how do we overcome that piece? We work really hard to over-communicate. I mentioned it earlier when we were talking. When we hire these individuals, we have a set career path, and we let them know you're going to come in as a recruiter, and you're going to be on an account team, and our hope is that you promote to a more senior recruiter, and then you're going to be in an account executive role, and it's our job to get you in that position within the 12 to 24 months.
Yeah.
So we have weekly one-on-ones where to let them know where they are in their career path. And by having that over communication, they understand it. And I think that's sometimes where the lack of patience comes from, is they don't understand why it's not happening. Well, we're giving them the why.
Yeah.
Here's your career path. Here's where you're going. And that's how we overcome that. The other one that stands out most to us, and we are in a environment where it's a recruiting and sales environment. We are putting people to work, and we have competitors like every other industry. They really don't understand how to fail.
Yeah.
And that stands out probably more than anything. It almost sometimes paralyzes them when they fail. They can't handle it. And, in our world, and in business for that matter, you're always failing. It's how you fail is how you then learn. And if it's on sales calls, if it's losing to a competitor, if it's a project that you were working on is now no longer funded, we really work with them. And we joke, we use this word a lot, fail fast.
Yeah.
As we bring our new hires in, they're in a 13-week boot camp that is locked down day to day about how we want them to learn our culture, learn our industry, learn what it takes to be successful. And part of that, it's putting them in situations where they are going to fail, either by not hitting a certain level of activity metrics, the KPIs that we'd like, or for that matter, just losing the deal.
Yeah.
And the sooner they can fail, and we can be there to lift them up and not give them a ribbon like mom did, but actually say, here's why you failed.
That's right.
Here's how you overcome it. Those are probably the things that we've seen that we've been able to be successful in overcoming them and helping them grow.
Yeah. Well, I love what you just said. In fact, I scribbled down two words in response. One of our habitudes, we teach leadership with images. Habitudes are images that form leadership habits and attitudes. One of them that we find ourselves talking to young professionals about quite often is the one we call crockpots and microwaves. Very often, a young professional today that's grown up in a world where everything's been fast, they have to learn the crockpots are better than microwaves. At least the food tastes better out of a crockpot than a microwave. And sometimes that's just a helpful conversation, a reminder really that the best things in life really are slow cooking. We're not rushing from one thing to another, and nothing goes deep when you go that fast. So we need that.
I agree.
But another thing you said, JJ, that I thought was really good was you address some of the issues by over-communication. And I like the word that you used, over-communication. I was thinking as you were talking, back in the day, and when I say the day, I mean my day, way back, 30 or 40 years ago when I was growing up, we used to have a phrase, no news is good news. If you didn't hear anything, everything must be fine. Today, it's no news is bad news. If you don't give feedback frequent enough, there is some, oh my gosh, something's wrong. And you do have to over-communicate. That's true on social media. If a kid doesn't hear back from their friend right away, something's wrong, or they're not my friend anymore, that sort of thing. So I love the fact you've tapped in more frequent feedback, more frequent communication, more frequent affirmation sometimes, just to say you're on the right track, Josh, can be very, very helpful. So that's, I think you're spot on.
I would agree. I think that is a critical piece. I know that when I got into the business world, I was given a cube and a three-ring binder that was called training and said, good luck.
That's right.
hope you're successful.
Yeah.
And I, in many respects, to your point, I kept my head down because I figured if I wasn't being talked to, I wasn't getting in trouble and I was being successful.
Yep.
That you asked earlier, what are some things we've changed as a company? That has been what has really opened our eyes is we have to over-communicate.
Yeah.
Even at some point when you feel like you're repeating yourself, all employees, they want to hear it. And sometimes that saves their mind from racing and becomes very detrimental to their, to their career.
Yeah. People are down on what they're not up on. So I think that's
exactly
so good. Two quick last questions. One, what are some tips you'd give to our listeners on hiring millennials? What would you say?
Well, first, I would say this. You mentioned something earlier. I feel like they're catching a bad rap. I joke with my wife a couple weeks ago. I think every generation, I think my grandfather thought my dad's generation was going to fail. And I think my dad probably thought my generation was going to fail. So I think it's just it's a process. But like any generation, there are millennials. There are these generations that want to work hard. You have to find them.
Yeah.
And what we have seen is what's worked for us. And I would tip that off to others, is that our referral-based system, once we started hiring these generations and we kind of recalibrated what we were doing and how we were successful, over 50% of our new hires each year are referrals.
Wow.
Over 50%. And that is the key for us because guess what? Those individuals who work so hard on the front end to try to discern, are they a right fit for our company? Of course, they have their friends and their communities they want to bring on board.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I would say is extremely important is create that referral system because it brings and it breeds automatic accountability because they're bringing in their referrals and a culture. Second would be you've got to be, as we talked earlier, on social media and have a presence and making sure you're looking at your glass door. I cannot tell you how many times I will interview or meet one of our new hires and the first thing they'll say is, we got on Glassdoor to learn about your company. And so those that are not embracing that must from this generation perspective. And then, as I said earlier, you got to set a career path. You have to have an outlined and achievable career path. And to some organizations that I've dealt with or spoken with, it's counter to them, but wait a second. No, the career path is you get hired. If you're successful, you'll get promoted. Well, that's not the case anymore. You need to show these new hires each step along the way. Now, they still have to achieve it. They still have to be able to be successful. But you have to show them that very clear, no gray, no dotted lines, career path for them. Those are the things I would offer up as tips.
I think you're spot on. That's great. So last but not least, talk about the advice you would give to another business leader, like yourself maybe, on how to retain millennials. What have you learned about that?
Well, we talked earlier. We changed our corporate structure to go to the account teams because we want people, yes, bought into the company and bought into the vision that we have. But as we got larger and larger, it became very evident to me that 20-something-year-old that we hired, if they hear that the company wants to grow top line X, that doesn't mean anything to them. It just doesn't mean anything to them. We're too large of a company. So I would really encourage people to think about how can you make whatever size organization you are, how can you create what we call account teams or those little smaller groups of people of community? I think that's a real big piece of the retention because they're bought into their peers. They're bought into the people, as we say, they're doing life with. I love nothing better than when I hear about when a group of individuals are at somebody's house on a weekend having a barbecue, talking and being with their kids, doing life.
Yeah,
and there's a level of connection there more so than, you know, outside of that.
Yeah.
I would also encourage leaders to be creative, willing to change some things. As I mentioned, you know, I've been in this industry for 20 plus years. And so I have ways I think things need to happen. Well, you got to be creative and be willing to change, not change your culture, but change things in how you work with these new hires.
Yeah.
And then I would say probably most important, you have to invest in them. Invest in them both emotionally, professionally, and which is easier said than done. It really is. And like so many things in life, it's easy to say we're going to do X, Y, and Z or these initiatives or get creative, but you have to really follow through with it because this generation, more than any, I think, can see right through anything that they don't believe in.
Yeah.
And whereas I said, when I started 20 years ago, I put my head down, and if they said, do X, I said, yes, sir. And I just did it without questioning it. These, they're going to question a little bit more. So be transparent with them. Show them what's going on. And so those are the things I would say are most important and what we've seen that's allowed us to retain these individuals.
Well, JJ, what you're saying so confirms the data that we have dug up. They're looking for authenticity and transparency, communication, and sometimes over-communication, giving them ownership, putting them in community, or allowing them to experience community. These are all things that I actually think all humans want, but boy, this emerging generation almost demands to stay. And it looks like you're retaining them well because you've created this great, healthy environment where they just don't want to leave. I love it. JJ, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been great conversation. You've downloaded a truckload of information for our listeners, but I appreciate you taking the time to do that.
Well, Tim, thank you for having me. Mary, thank you also for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Great.
Thanks so much. JJ, Tim, thanks so much for an insightful conversation. Before we dive into practical applications with Dr. Tim Elmore, I want to go back to something that JJ said. He retains by investing in millennials. We were just talking offline, and JJ mentioned that he invests in his millennials by using our training resource, Habitudes for New Professionals. It's an onboarding resource to have conversations about patience, trust, and work ethic. To learn more and get a free sample, visit growingleaders.com. Tim, back to you for practical applications.
Thanks, Mary. Yeah, we like to close out these podcasts with a few minutes of very, very practical action steps we can take in light of the content we just heard. Something that raced through my mind more than once as I was listening to JJ talk about how he's shifted as an employer in his mindset is the whole idea of moving from leading out of relief to leading out of belief. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. Far too many employers or educators, counselors or coaches, will connect with a millennial or a Gen Z kid, and suddenly they find themselves frustrated because the mindset's not there, or the work ethic's not there, the grit's not there, the entitlement is there, and they'll just get frustrated, and out of their frustration, start leading out of relief, meaning they want to relieve the tension by just yelling or scolding, or the relief might take the form of we let them off the hook because they just don't seem to have what it takes. And so we relieve the tension by not becoming the best version of ourselves or calling them to become the best version of themselves. I think I heard JJ talk about moving over to leading out of belief. That means with that millennial employee that you may not fully understand, you communicate with them out of belief in them. In other words, you hold them to a higher standard because you do believe they can produce. You do believe that they can become the best version of themselves. And so you find yourself challenging them to become that great version by not letting them off the hook or diluting the standard for your company or your school. This can take the form of many, many ways. It may be in a very difficult conversation. You're talking to them and saying, I know you can do this. I have high expectations of you. I want you to go back and try it again. Or I want you to go back and actually call 5 more people than you called last week. Whatever the task is, I have found that leading out of belief always gets better results than leading out of relief. I have to confess, I've been guilty. We all get impatient. We all get weary at the end of a work day or the work week. And we find ourselves just wanting to relieve the tension, to stop the bleeding. We just want to go home or maybe fire them and hire somebody new. I want to encourage you, listeners, if you've got young people around you, employees or students, to lead out of belief, to call out the best, and to see what might happen when that young person finally has an adult in their life that won't let them off the hook because they see something great inside. That would be my application to JJ's great insight, Mary, today in this conversation.
Great. Tim, thanks so much on the practical tips on how to lead millennials in the workplace. To our listeners, thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next time.